In his work entitled Light, author John Wroblewsky writes, "To this day, all the peoples of the world pay homage to light. It is not difficult to understand why light is so important in our lives. Light is the essence of the vision with which we perceive the world around us. It is everywhere. It determines everything we see. We cannot see without light, and yet we cannot see light as it travels through space. Light is the conveyor of form and color, and along with the rest of the electromagnetic spectrum, that ranges from the tiniest cosmic rays to a mile-long radio waves, it is the swiftest carrier of energy in the universe. Nothing can move faster," he wrote, than the speed of light. And since the invention of the laser beam in the 1960s, it may well be that nothing is more powerful than light as well. We're in the period of the Christian calendar known as Epiphany. And today is the third Sunday of Epiphany, which draws our attention to the shining of God's light upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The word Epiphany is from the Greek epiphaneia, which means appearing. Epiphany glows with the light of God's countenance appearing through Christ to irradiate our darkness and show us God's will for our lives. Epiphany reminds us that these moments of light can still appear to us to brighten our world. Light, Augustine observed, even when it passes through pollution, is not polluted. In fact, its radiance cleanses the polluted medium it penetrates. Our scripture lessons speak of light in this way, the light of God's countenance as it turns toward a dark world. They tell us of a time when God turned toward the world, manifesting through the light of his countenance love and concern for the world. In our Old Testament lesson, we read about a time in Israel's history when her faith in God was sorely tested. She had been attacked by her enemy Assyria from the north. Her king was deposed and her land was divided into three districts and given Assyrian names. God's people began to wonder if God had deserted them to their enemies. They felt isolated and alone. And God seemed strangely silent. They were a people walking in darkness, living in a dark land. You and I know that you don't have to be attacked by a foreign nation to feel that way. You can find yourself in that kind of darkness at almost any time and without any warning. Everyone has heard the horror stories of people who have given up most of their adult life working for a company and then forced into early retirement when the company felt it needed to cut expenses. Imagine the darkness that comes to such a life. When I lived down in Florida, I cannot tell you how many newly retired couples I met who had dreamed for years about the good life in Florida. And when the time finally came, they sold their house, said goodbye to family and friends, packed up the golf clubs, and hurried down to live in the sun and enjoy the good life. But it amazed me how often it was the case that within a year or two of their arrival, either the wife or more often the husband would develop a terminal illness which ate up all their life savings, and then death would soon follow. Can you imagine the darkness that comes at such a time as that? But darkness does not confine itself to the golden years of life. It comes when a friendship ends. It comes when a child becomes addicted to drugs. It comes when depression takes hold and we lose sight of life's meaning. It can even come when on the surface everything seems fine. We're busy at work, we love our family, but in spite of all that, we feel lost and alone, living in our own private prisons of darkness and despair. There is no shortage of darkness in life. At one time or another, everyone experiences a walk in the dark. Everyone knows life is like what life is like in a land of deep darkness where seemingly no light could ever reach. When we read this passage from Isaiah, the words about a people lost in darkness thousands of years ago easily transcends the ages. And in these words, we can find ourselves suddenly reading about our own darkness, and we wonder if there is any light at all. To God's people of another time and place, Isaiah boldly proclaimed, "Yes, there is light." He said, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And then Isaiah turns his words toward the one who gave them light in the midst of darkness and says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased its joy. The yoke that Israel's enemies had placed upon her, thou hast broken." And Isaiah says these words as though they had already become true. And in so doing, makes clear to Israel that this God of light will not fail them. Isaiah speaks these words to us as well. "The Lord is our light and salvation. God has already sent to us a light that can brighten any darkness in our lives, a light that shines forth to reveal our loving God who cares for us." And that light, of course, is Jesus Christ. Matthew was so certain that this Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, the Messiah, come to reveal the love of God to a broken humanity, that as he tells the story of how Jesus began his public ministry, what does he do? He quotes this very passage we read this morning from Isaiah. John the Baptist had been arrested and thrown into prison. Everything that he had preached about God coming to save his people appeared now to be empty words. The message was imprisoned with the messenger, and many began to doubt if John the Baptist had truly been sent by God to announce the coming of the Messiah. It was imperative then for Jesus to begin his work as soon as possible. And so Jesus went to Galilee to begin his ministry. And Matthew tells us that in his ministry, Jesus revealed God in two ways. First, he went all about Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the same message that John the Baptist had been preaching: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Part of what Jesus reveals to us is the fact that time and time again, we do not put God first in our lives. We fail to seek out God's will for our lives. We turn away from God and attempt to live our lives as we want to live them. Jesus wants us to recognize that much of the darkness we experience in life comes to us because our own will has replaced God's will for us. We forget to pray for God's guidance. We neglect our study of God's word. We don't think to ask ourselves what God calls us to do and be. And then before we know it, darkness comes and the light appears hidden from our eyes. Jesus reveals to us the need to repent, to turn toward our God and seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Before we can bring light to our lives, Jesus says, we must reach out to the source of all light. But secondly, Matthew tells us, Jesus went about healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. Just as Isaiah had prophesied, Jesus demonstrates that God is strong to save. He reveals the fact that God's will for us is wholeness of life. From Christ, we learn that God desires to break the yokes that weigh so heavily upon us. A few years ago, a man went home to find his wife strangled to death. Later, the grieving husband went on television to say that he had forgiven his wife's murderer and asked the public to find it in their hearts to do so too. At the funeral service, the bulletin stated the following: "The black border around this paper is not only for the memory of this lost loved one, or for the grief of her loved ones, but for a sick humanity. All of us have felt in these days something of the terrible misery of what it means to be human. For a short time, the mask was stripped away, and we caught a glimpse of the hell in human hearts, the hell of lovelessness, of hatred, of callousness to other people, of our ready willingness to consume each other. But it is precisely at this point," it said, "at graveside, that Christianity, if it is to have any meaning at all, must begin to make sense. For it was to the very depths of this tragic human existence that God came personally in Jesus Christ. And it was here that he redeemed us and our existence." It closed by saying, "The mercy is this, that we who have faced our humanity in all its horror are now enabled through Christ to realize our humanity in all its glory. There is no darkness in life into which God's light cannot shine. And it is to this God of all light that Jesus called his disciples. To Peter and Andrew, to James and John, he said, 'Follow me.' Jesus knew if he was to fulfill his role as that one through whom God is revealed, he had to train others to pass on that revelation after his days on earth had ended. These four fishermen were the first of those he would ask to commit their lives bearing witness to his ministry in the world. He calls you and me to do the same. We too are to be witnesses to his light shining in a dark world. Because God has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ, we have been given the responsibility to share that revelation with the world around us. To each of us, the light of Christ has been given. Remember that old spiritual, we used to sing it all the time in camp at Massanutta? It declares, 'This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Pass it on to a friend of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.' So where will you let the light of God shine that God has given to you? Will you let it shine in your family relationships? Will you let it shine in the work you do? Will you let it shine in the presence of those who have been beaten down by life? The poor, the homeless, the prisoner, the destitute. Will you let God's light shine on those who know pain and suffering? Those for whom sickness of body or mind is a way of life? Once God's light has shined upon us, once God has revealed to us in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we can say with certainty that there is no greater light, no greater joy, no greater peace than that which comes from our Creator God. So as you go through life day by day, I invite you to live in that light. Let us pray. Eternal God, in whom there is no darkness at all, we commend ourselves to your gracious keeping. You are our hope and strength and guide. Shed light upon our pathway that we may know where we may safely tread. And when the shadows lengthen and our work is done, bring us to our goal in peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.